Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here's your host, Joe Kuzma.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast. My name is Joe Kuzma, and today, by my lonesome here, I'm feeling a little bit lonely without my brother from another mother, Brian E. Roach, or my other colleagues, Noah, or the Professor Zach, or even Tina, who's been chomping at the bit to get back on the show here. But today, I'm flying 100% solo by no fault of really my own. Just everybody's got their own stuff going on. The weather's breaking, and I guess everyone's just busy, and it just left me by myself. No, I kid. It's partially my fault too, and I want to make sure we get an early week program out to all of you great listeners, viewers, and supporters of our brand. So thank you once again. As the brainchild for this particular episode comes from someone named, I believe it was Christian, I was speaking with on Facebook, who shared something from somewhere else on the web, maybe another Steelers site or something. I'm trying to remember what it was, but I made a shameless and snarky, sarcastic plug for this podcast, actually, because I had said, hey, if anyone actually pays attention to this show, this is something I've been talking about all season long with Zach or with Brian or whomever else. And there'll be some corresponding things up on the website, hopefully here, the middle to end of the week, that you can take a look at to kind of put some of this, you know, like a name to a face type thing, because rattling off some of these statistics, it's going to go through one ear and out the other. And I'm going to try not to be, you know, one of these insurance spokesmen on TV, almost like the dry eyes guy or whatever. What was it? There was Ben Stein or whoever it was. We know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two. I'm going to try not to bore you with statistics, but it boils down to the predictability of the Steelers offense and what went wrong. And part of what was shared on Facebook and what was commented about that made me make a snarky comment here was, hello, I think it's a little bit more than what's just being said here. And there were a couple, there was more than just this one post, so it's not to single out any one individual, but there was a lot to do over, I don't know, no one ever pulls these stats themselves sometimes. And also, raise my hand, I'll be guilty here, because a lot of what I'm coming up with here when it comes to the Steelers snap counts, I keep track of snap counts, but by formation, whether they run, pass, anything like that, I glean these from a few different areas. One of those is not Pro Football Focus, by the way, which you could find some of this information. However, most, I would say 95% of the people using PFF are not permitted or licensed to repeat some of the information that's there. It's for your own personal consumption, so I'll respect them as content creators and not rip off their product here. So I'm going to give a shout out here to Sharp Football Stats, and also some of this comes directly from the National Football League as well. So let me first explain where I'm coming at with all of this. Part of what was said, and I believe this was from some of it was from Behind the Steel Curtain. There was another website that completely like stole their article and ripped it off, and was talking about how many snaps Ben Roethlisberger was in the shotgun formation, as if that's necessarily a bad thing. I don't know. Maybe I'll get into that right now before I get into the other stuff, because, well, let me talk about the other deal. And some of what was said was, is that the Steelers offense had become predictable due to jet motion. Some of the concepts that were installed maybe by Matt Canada, who is now the Steelers' new offensive coordinator, promoted from quarterback's coach. And I had a little bit of an issue with that. Yeah, maybe he brought some ideas to the table. However, Randy Fickner's the play was the play caller, right? Randy Fickner's offense. Randy Fickner, the offensive coordinator, no quarterbacks coach back in 2019, where some of this bad play calling goes all the way back to then as well, and how predictable it became. And I think anyone, just from a naked eye, could see that when Ben Roethlisberger was in no huddle, the Steelers tended to do a lot better. And why was that? I don't know necessarily that Ben made all the best checks at the line of scrimmage, nor does anybody. I mean, you're human. You're making those things. Look, we could look back in hindsight's 2020. He's making those calls right on the field as the play clock's winding down. And, I mean, it takes a lot of experience and a great quarterback to be able to do that and be successful at it. So, but by the naked eye, we could also tell that a lot of people were like, can't Ben become the offensive coordinator? Does Ben have a future in coaching? Things of that nature. And you wouldn't be wrong, I would say, because if it were truly just because team said, oh, look, here's some type of things that were installed by Matt Canada would not be promoted, or God help us that he is promoted as the Steelers offensive coordinator. Because then they're not going to get any better. They're not going to improve their offensive anything in 2021. They're going to have a propensity to just carry over the same exact crap as it is, and I don't think that's necessarily the case. Otherwise, maybe the Steelers would have went in a different direction, and other teams wouldn't have been so keen on the hot hire in Matt Canada, who just rose out of nowhere through what all these different college programs that he's had a lot of offensive success with. And since I am by myself, I get long-winded even when I have some company here with me, but I'm going to need to have a refreshment here or there, so bear with me if you hear me swigging on the old water bottle. Yeah, I could always cut some of this stuff out. I like to be real with all of Yen's folks that are out there. So that was part of my idea, was just it was a little more than just, you know, Matt Canada and just how much input did he have versus what Randy Fichtner was installing and calling throughout the season. And by all means, the beginning of the season, there really wasn't a problem either. And I'll get into some of that. To get back to the other thing I was talking about was, on average, the NFL, teams are under center 37% of the time to 63% of the time under shotgun. That's the entire NFL regular season and postseason combined, I believe, here, according to sharpfootballstats.com. And the Steelers, just so you know where they're at, under center 23% of the time as opposed to in shotgun 77% of the time. So about three quarters of the time they're operating the offense out of the gun. And a lot of people, I think, just took, as you know, we all have tendency to do, we read a headline. It was pretty cleverly clickbaited, and people comment, and that's what prompted my sarcasm a little bit in some of the cases where you may see me comment in some of the Facebook groups, sometimes on Twitter too. It all depends, you know. I try not to get in fights with people. I picked my battles, and this was one I was feeling pretty good about picking on, because the Steelers are far from the team that uses shotgun formation the most. They're among the league leaders, don't get me wrong, but there's several others here. Arizona, for example, 87% of the time. Reminder, Steelers 77%. So full 10% more with Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury's offense there in the desert, which, by the way, great segue to the Steelers didn't win the J.J. Watt lottery. I wanted to talk about this with Brian or someone else just to have a little bit of banter and back and forth, but I'll do it virtually with all of the great folks that are listening right here. You know, we talked about this. There wasn't a real great need. There wasn't a real great fit, potentially. And how much money could they give J.J. Watt? And seeing as there's a $12 to $13 million, what was it, 2 years, 20-some million guaranteed. I don't think the Steelers could have offered that up. They may have had the money some next year, but it would have been like the same thing as Ben's cap hit this year, next year with just J.J. Watt. And we'll see. I saw some Browns fans. They were getting excited. I guess J.J. Watt has a Peloton account, and he had changed and put some initials, some abbreviations in his profile, and said GB, CLE, and BUF, obviously for the Packers, the Browns, and the Bills. And he just totally like teased and trolled everyone on that, because he didn't go to any of those teams. If you hadn't heard already and you've been living under a rock, or just tuning in and I'm the only person that you listen to, which would be tremendously humbling, by the way. I highly doubt that's the case. But J.J. Watt going to the Arizona Cardinals, going to be paired up with like Chandler Jones and a pretty decent offense, but the defense there. Let's see, Chandler Jones, Buda Baker, Hassan Reddick all of a sudden just becoming a force there too with the change of position. He became a sack monster out of nowhere. It was like, here, try me at this, try me at this, try me at this. It's like, coach, come on, come on. And they finally relented, and the guy like shot out of a, I think he had like 5-6 sacks in one game toward the end of the season last year, which is pretty crazy. But anyways, we're talking offense versus defense, but the whole J.J. Watt thing, I'm not brokenhearted. For those of you who follow our affectionately named Flash, Zach Celadonia over ZE Flash on Twitter, he's a little brokenhearted, but it was all in good fun. It was almost like I was calling him Professor Clouseau or Inspector Clouseau, the Pink Panther, if you've seen any version of that, as he was on hot on the trail of seeing where J.J. Watt was going to end up, and nobody had Arizona pegged for him whatsoever. Most of the Browns fans that I know were like, what? This is ridiculous. They would have been mad if he went to Pittsburgh, but a lot of people just expected that based on his brothers. I didn't. I thought, man, this guy's like in his early 30s. Why don't he get like one more very solid contract? It's not like you're putting him out the pasture. And while it would have been a neat idea and cool to see on paper, we'll see how it turns out with him. You know, Arizona, nice warm weather, dome stadium, you know, hey, those things might appeal to them. I mean, obviously, they had very similar to maybe Houston in that regard. So we'll see. We'll see what I'll find. I mean, there's other benefits where players are going. They're thinking about taxes and moving and cost of living and things of that. And Arizona is usually, from what I understand, I know a lot of people from, you know, the Pittsburgh area or portions of Western Pennsylvania, Northeast Ohio, who move out into like Arizona, that's like their retirement, other than Florida, of course. So, hey, happy trails, JJ. We'll see what ends up happening there. But Cardinals, back to my original point of emphasis here for the program, 77% for the Pittsburgh Steelers operating out of the shotgun. Arizona Cardinals, 87%. You would think that's high, but that's not the most in the league. No, the most in the league is a team that doesn't even lead. They don't throw the ball as much as you would think, nor do they actually really attempt to throw the ball much whatsoever. This would be a team that attempted 555 rushing attempts to 406 passing attempts. They ran for 3,071 yards this season, which I believe was tops in the league. That would be the Baltimore Ravens, and they operate out of the shotgun way more than anybody else. In fact, it's 96% of the time. So when we're talking about whether or not the run game, and we're talking a lot about run game, I'm seeing Najee Harris everywhere. Folks, knock it off. I can't do this until the draft in a couple of months, okay? Everybody wants the running back. I think a lot of people realize that it would be wise to invest in the offensive line. That is going to be a topic we're talking about very soon, as soon as we can get back on the same page too, because I got a lot of thoughts on how they could do that with free agency in the draft, and maybe even a running back. But I don't see Aaron Jones leaving the Green Bay Packers. Perhaps he does, but it's just like the J.J. Watt thing. And then we go full circle and they say, well, the Steelers don't have money or the Steelers are cheap. That's like, no, that's kind of a dumb thing to say. They pay their own players who deserve those type of contracts. They build through the draft and they reward their own guys and retain their own guys. A lot of other teams, they're blowing up their rosters. They got new general managers and new coaching staffs that are installing different defenses, different offenses, players that don't fit their schemes, or guys they just don't care for. And it's almost like a one man's trash is another man's treasure. Anytime someone's released or let go or is going to hit the free agent wire. And a lot of times I will say that free agents are either, and they could be both of these, right? They could be overpriced or they could be unwanted. You could see in the case of, let's say, Bud Dupree not coming back to Pittsburgh, that's a case of being overpriced. There could be some other players where you have the case of, hey, this guy just hit here. Well, he hit there because he didn't do so well with his former team. So there's a little bit of stuff like that. And this is more or less to show you what's really broken with the offense. It goes beyond just drafting the next Jerome Bettis. That's what everybody thinks Najee Harris is going to be, right? Or getting the next Marquise Pouncey in the draft, which none of us here from our conversations believe that player exists in this draft. So, you know, but to make investments where you hadn't had investments along the offensive line will go a long way. But this is also another thing that needs corrected. But it's not just because the Steelers run out of shotgun often. It's their play call selection. But let's look at some of the other teams that are here at 70% or more. The Carolina Panthers at 71%. We have the Chicago Bears at 76% of their play calls from the shotgun. Houston Texans, and this is the this defeats the mobile quarterback type controversy, I think, as well, is that a lot of these teams, Mitch Trubisky could get around okay, I guess. But, you know, obviously Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson. You look at the Texans, Deshaun Watson, 77% to the Kansas City Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes. And let's see, who else do we have here? Believe it or not, the New York Jets are at 65. I said I'd promise you 70% or better. So let's go to the Eagles. Steelers are obviously in here. Right on the nose at 70%. The Seattle Seahawks, Russell Wilson. And I think that closes it out. And believe it or not, some of the teams that are about even Steven in this play calling, like the 49ers, Tampa Bay with Bruce Arians, the Tennessee Titans, and actually more under center, more or less, with a few of those teams. Oakland. I still have them listed as Oakland here. The Las Vegas Raiders, pretty even. New Orleans Saints are even. Patriots dead on, 50-50. And trying to look who else is 50-50. Most everyone is somewhere in the 60% range, which is the average, like I said, in the NFL. If you're curious about the rest of the AFC North, the Cincinnati Bengals were at 68% out of the shotgun and the Cleveland Browns 66%. So, I mean, this is pretty much the trend in the National Football League. Now, we also have some run rate and pass rate numbers, and this is where it becomes problematic for the Steelers. A lot of teams under center, the average to run the ball when you go under center is 68% in the National Football League. The Steelers were number one overall at 80%. And when you start to figure out when they run on down as well as distance, and trust me, there's number crunchers all over the league who are paid to figure this out even more than I am. So if your average Joe, pun intended, me, can figure this out, and we figured it out during the season. We talked about this quite often as far as play selection. Trust me, the other teams have got to had this figured out. And I think this is part of the problem, as well as just abandoning the run. But the Steelers at 80%, there's no one else that creeps up into there. You have a few teams like the Colts, Jaguars, Chargers. I mean, they're in like the 70% or above 70% range. Again, 68% under center. They're running, but still, you know, I'd probably take that over 80. I mean, 80% is saying four out of five times under center, you're running the ball. There's a very good chance Ben goes under center. Now, some of that, well, we don't see a whole lot of QB sneaks, but we see like third and one, fourth and one, fourth and two, right? And then you get to see where the play selection is there as well. And, of course, I did this only for the Steelers. Sorry, I don't have time to do it for the 31 other teams in the league. But the pass rate, of course, would be 20%. It's only 20% of the time the Steelers ran the ball, the complete opposite, obviously, passed the ball. I'm sorry. Let me rewind this. 80% of the time they run the ball under center, so that means 20% of the time, that one time out of five, they would actually pass the ball when under center. So if they're under center, more than likely they're going to run. The opposite almost true out of the shotgun, 70% of the time passing the football out of the shotgun, 30% of the time will they be running the ball out of the shotgun. So I hope that wasn't too confusing there. And again, let's see, passing the ball or running the football out of the shotgun versus passing it. The Steelers, again, tops in the league as far as running under center, bottom in the league, obviously, if they're under center, passing the ball, which means there wasn't a whole lot of play action. Now, you get a little bit of play action out of the shotgun, but geez, not quite the same motions or anything like that. And we saw some goofy things. We saw the Bengals game on the road this past season where it looked like the Steelers were trying to emphasize the run a little more. It looked like Ben was tripping over his shoelaces. They tried to do too much, install too much, and change their identity there, where I don't think it was necessarily a good thing. And the reason they somehow lost their identity is just because of this particular shotgun versus under center, maybe, but it's more or less how predictable it was. Again, short yardage, Ben's probably getting right up there. You're not running someone right out of the pile through shotgun. But I have some other numbers here that break this down even further. The Steelers were under center a lot more throughout the first portion of the season, in particular, all of the games played through week 7, week 8. That would be the COVID altered schedule where the Tennessee Titans were moved to week 7. The Ravens were in week 8. So their first 7 games of the season through that first Ravens encounter, all victories, by the way. And, you know, they won 11 in a row, but some things started to show. There were a lot of critics, a lot of analysis that was done as to whether or not they were a fake or a bad 11-0 team. And I would probably surmise that it started from their 7th win of the season going forward because of some of the things they started doing that just seemed a little bit more awkward than usual. The baseline here being the Steelers in shotgun 77% of the time on all plays in 2020. But that's not the most telling statistic here. This number gets skewed by a handful of games. Through the first 5 games of the season, the Steelers were actually a very solid rushing football team. In fact, let's take it through the first 6 games. This was through the Ravens game, Titans game, week 7. Let me see here. Titans were week 7. So the Ravens actually held the Steelers to 48 yards, and this is where this started to come off the rails a little bit. However, they only ran the ball 16 times in that game. Prior to this, the Steelers were carrying the ball 30 times for 141 yards against the New York Giants, 22 times for 109 yards against the Denver Broncos. Some of this shotgun stuff, this was still, both of these games were over the average of 77% somehow. They trended downward week 3 when they played the Texans. It would be 74% operating out of the gun for their most plays under center to date through the 3rd game of the year. And they ran 38 times to 36 passes for 169 yards. Ben was only attempting 34 passes when they came back from a early impromptu bye week against the Philadelphia Eagles. 34 passes, it was 32 runs, 34% of the time under center, only 66 out of the gun. They ran for 136 yards. They would run for 129 yards against the Cleveland Browns in their first encounter of the year, while also operating out of shotgun only 65% of the time. They ran a whopping 37 times to 23 passes in that game. Of course, if you remember, pick 6 by Minkah Fitzpatrick, and it was a total dominant game by the Steelers in that very first encounter with the Cleveland Browns, as opposed to the other two, right? Still, under center versus shotgun there. They jumped back over 77% the remainder of the year. They never went under 80% out of shotgun. And why this starts to become a problem is that they're only running the ball. Let's see. You still had 25 times for 94 yards against the Titans. If you remember, a lot of passing touchdowns in that game. 16 run attempts against the Ravens in week 8. Week 9, Dallas Cowboys, 18 run attempts. That's good for those two games, 48 and 46 yards. They go week 10 against the Bengals, only 44 yards on 20 carries. 27 carries in week 11, a balanced game, I believe, against the Jaguars before this second Ravens game that was supposed to be played on Thanksgiving gets kicked around all tarnation. It was supposed to be Thursday night, and then all of a sudden you end up in this game where Ben operates out of the shotgun 80% of the time. They throw the ball 46 times, but still – or I'm sorry, I got that a little mixed up here. Ben still threw the ball 46 times against the Jacksonville Jaguars. He threw it 51 times against the Baltimore Ravens in that rescheduled game that was played on a Wednesday at like 3 o'clock. They only ran the ball 20 times in that game, 89% out of the shotgun. He would be 89% out of the shotgun once again with 53 passes in Week 13's first loss of the season against the Washington football team. Isn't a wonder. They only ran for 21 yards on 14 carries. If you start to see the trend here, 20 or fewer carries was pretty much their mantra from this week 12 game against the Ravens that was rescheduled all the way through. They would only carry it more than 20 times once in week 15 in that loss against the Cincinnati Bengals, of which they piled up 86 yards, which was their best rushing performance on the latter half of this season as well. Everything out of shotgun here, though, from this rescheduled Ravens game, 89%, 89, 85, 92, 93, and 85, even in the game where Roethlisberger sat, and it was Mason Rudolph, the Mason Rudolph show. Mason got under center 15% of the time, which was a little bit better than the previous 8% and 7%. And if you remember, like, this game against the Colts too was a shootout week 16, 93% of the time out of the gun. We're talking about Ben from, again, the Ravens game, the week 12 reschedule, 51 attempts, 53 attempts, 37 against the Buffalo Bills, 38 against the Bengals, 49 against the Colts. Mason Rudolph has Mason Rudolph, and I don't think Josh Dobbs attempted the pass in this game, but 44 overall pass attempts. They did have 20 runs for, and they had a total of 85 yards in that game. But when they beat the Colts, only 22 yards rushing. And then, of course, the wild card game, 95% of the time out of the shotgun, 68 pass attempts to 16 runs. They barely doubled up from the first six games. What did I say they had here? Almost 100-yard performances in all of them. They fell a little short against Tennessee by 6 yards here, but they piled up 778 yards in the first six games of the season. The final tally over the next 10 only got them to 1,351, not even double. They were on pace to be over maybe about 1,500 and some yards. They only ended up with 1,351, which was absolutely miserable. They had 215 pass attempts in those first games. They tripled that up at 656 over the next 10. And also the 184 running attempts was roughly half in those first six games versus the following 10. So I point everything out to the first Ravens game following, you know, the rescheduled Titans game, not the one that was rescheduled for Thanksgiving, the one that was on the road. It seems everything started to shift from Tennessee there on out, but they still had a little bit of success doing what they were doing with Tennessee. And then they started to just, I don't know, they kind of abandoned everything here with the exception of, like I said, they handled Jacksonville pretty well. And I think they managed that game in order to be able to have some bodies fresh on a short week. A lot of chewing the clock. There was a philosophy there to preserve guys for a divisional battle on Thanksgiving evening that never ended up occurring. So I think that's the only reason why that's kind of an outlier there, despite there all being 46 pass plays in that game as well. At least they ran the ball 27 times. That was a high since the Tennessee game. Barely any 20 rush attempts, 23, like I said, when you get to that Bengals loss on the road. So what else made this predictable aside from lack of running the ball? We had mentioned on this show for many years, even going back to the Todd Haley era, that the Steelers' recipe for disaster is not getting 25 touches to their backs. Now, I can't speak for certain, I'd like to say, and it's the same thing that Randy Fickner had as a philosophy, that at least throwing them the ball, whether it was Le'Veon Bell, James Conner, or whoever else is there, is at least a touch. I want to say that that was kind of non-existent as well with passes to running backs. You almost didn't have to guard them in some aspects. James Conner had 43 targets this year. Benny Snell had 14, and Benny Snell had a 111 attempt. It was pretty much if he was in the backfield, to Connor's 169. If he's in the backfield, they weren't throwing him the ball. Don't even look at this guy. Now, Anthony McFarlane was like 33 to having 9 pass targets. Okay, here's a guy you might have to respect a little bit. Jalen Samuels, 14. He actually had more times that they were going to throw him the ball to his 9 rush attempts, 14-9 there. So that's kind of interesting. Just to put it back into perspective with Connor, he becomes the starter in 2018. He had 71 targets in that 2018 Pro Bowl year. 71 to 215 rushes. Now, I know he missed a lot of time last season. He had 38 targets. He was involved in the passing game to 116 runs. He only had seven more targets and played three more games last season, despite having 52 more run attempts. So the ratio was like way off as far as getting these backs involved in the pass game. That's one thing that I believe was very predictable. Another thing that became predictable was not only the I broke down the under center versus shotgun stuff by first down, second down, third down, and fourth down as well. And the run rate under center, 83% on first down, second down. It shouldn't be any surprise also because it was pretty much blown out of the saddle that if they were going to go under center, they're probably going to end up running the football. So 83% on first down, 86% of the time they would run under center on second down, 84% on third down, 100% of the time on fourth down, Ben under center or whoever's under center, they're running the football. There was no surprise there that that was necessarily going to happen. Now, out of shotgun, they would run the ball on fourth down 14% of the time, but on third down, they were never running the ball out of shotgun 8% of the time. So when you get that predictable, that where you're passing 92% of the time on third down in the shotgun formation, bring the edge rushers or sink everyone back if it's a, you know, a third and long type situation, and you wonder why that the offense had such a lack of success. You take a look at on first down shotgun, 71% of the time. Okay, about two-thirds of the time, not quite three-quarters. So two out of every three plays, they're going to pass the ball. It was three-quarters of the time out of shotgun passing the ball on second down. So you still had a pretty good indication that when they were going to run. If it's under center, it's going to be a run play. If it's out of shotgun, more than likely they're not going to run it too often. And that's where it became very predictable. First down run plays versus passing. Overall, despite formation, the Steelers were more of a coin flip situation here. They ran the ball 42.8% of the time. Okay, that's kind of decently balanced. I could take 60-40, right? That doesn't seem so bad. The NFL is a pass-happy league. You get in the second down, and it's 36.7. You're starting to skew in the other direction where it becomes maybe a little more predictable that they're going to probably pass the ball. And then third down, get out of town. They're not running the ball on a third down unless it's maybe a short situation. You're under center, stack the box. If you're not, the Steelers are only running the ball. They ran the ball 41 times on third downs. That would be 41 out of a total of 230 plays, 189 pass plays. That meant 17.8% of the time they're running the ball. Fourth down, a little bit better. And I mean, we saw how bad they were on third downs, right? They had some success on fourth downs and it still made you, you know, bite all your fingernails off. 47.4%, 9 runs to 10 passes. So almost a coin flip there, as even a better coin flip than what they might do on first down. But absolutely no suspense of belief as to what they're doing pretty much on most of the second down, and definitely on third down, and definitely if you're going to see them in shotgun formation. You start to pile up film on this from the first, what, six games, as I was saying, and then as it starts to go on and you start to get more of a pattern, they've completely deviated from attempting to run the ball whatsoever, which they did have success doing so over those first five, six games. It's just, I think this is really where you're at. And now I would like to open up for comments, as particularly those that are on YouTube and that there. When you were watching a game, I'm talking about the naked eyeball test here, and it wasn't no huddle. Let's even say it was no huddle. How surprised were you as to what was going on or how successful everything was in no huddle? I think we started to see an issue with Randy Fichtner and the predictability, but how often when they weren't running a hurry-up offense? Were you able to call the plays at home? I think I was. You could see the formations. It didn't matter, shotgun, under center, the personnel that were out there. You kind of knew where the ball was going or what was happening. And I think they put themselves into some third and long situations, some pressure on themselves as well, by lack of establishing a run game, chewing up some yards on first or second down to make it third and manageable. Also, the drop passes. That is yet another thing that isn't talked too much when everybody is harping on go draft a running back. I am not anti-drafting a running back. I just don't know that that's where I want my first round pick necessarily to go. And, you know, Brian and everybody else will have their fun. They'll put on their, you know, fantasy drafting caps and they'll make some trades and get some more picks. By all means, if something like that happens and somebody wants to jump up a little earlier from the later part of the first round up and swap something with the Steelers or give them the second round pick and they still think they can get a certain guy there, by all means, Kevin Colbert is a freaking genius with second round picks. And if that affords them a second round pick and then something extra, I don't know, fourth, fifth round, sixth round pick. It all depends. We all know there's the math formula and the calculations and charts on the values of what these picks are. And the teams kind of have an idea of that. They get the itchy finger there too. We'll see what the Steelers do. We'll see if they feel that there's someone that they could pick anywhere 8 to 12 picks later from their current position in the draft, pick 24. It's a possibility that may be explored, but I'm not saying it's, you know, a definite, and you can't always bank on that. So whatever picks that they have right now, I think that they're very valuable, and I would much rather they go maybe with an offensive lineman there. I'll still bank on that. If they go defense, everybody's going to lose their minds. But I'm not necessarily saying, I don't know. I don't know where the coaches are thinking here. Do we think some of these I'll talk about offensive line when I get Brian or Zach on here for sure, because they have made some investments. They have some guys still there that they may feel good about. There is a large gaping hole in the center at the center position due to the retirement of center Marquise Pouncey. Duly noted, acknowledged. We'll see where they go, if there's any type of free agent that's going to compete there. I have some opinions on that, too, when we get to an offensive line dedicated show. But I kind of want to hear your thoughts. Hopefully this wasn't an incoherent rambling of numbers. I promised to put some of this up over at SteelCityUnderground.com as well, so all of you can go out there and see it with your own eyes and kind of go, geez, these are some glaring numbers. Now, still, mind you, I'm not ragging the shotgun approach. Shotgun seems to be something that works for most of the teams in the NFL. They seem to be the ones doing it. Again, there's some outliers. Obviously, everyone who wants Najee Harris thinks he's the next Derrick Henry, would like everything to operate like the Tennessee Titans do with an even split. Tom Brady is still getting it done, doing almost an even split. It did not work out for Washington whatsoever, no matter who they had calling plays in the huddle. So, you know, it's not necessarily a complete shotgun under center type thing. Arizona, and I think that team is just going to continue to grow and be good. We've seen Baltimore. We've seen Lamar Jackson win an MVP totally out of shotgun and running the football, not even passing it all that much. Although he has a lot of touchdowns, a lot of scores. Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson, all of these guys, they're operating out of the shotgun as well. Deshaun Watson too in there. So you can't necessarily, do that. Well, let's look at, here's the team that by far does the most under center. And that would be the Minnesota Vikings, who have primarily a running football approach, right? Delvin Cook, Kirk Cousins. I don't know if he's the guy you want always throwing the ball, and he lost some of his targets. He and Justin Jefferson did good to make up for Stephon Diggs, but still, it's not Stephon Diggs, right? So you look at Buffalo. Buffalo's almost trending at like 60%. Some teams like that. Again, sharpfootballstats.com has some of this. The rest of this was pulled off of the NFL with their stats and analysis website. And I hope you enjoyed the show. I'd like to hear some of your thoughts if you feel it was more play calling, maybe versus personnel. Again, drop passes. Yeah, I get it. Alejandro Villanueva, maybe a little long in the tooth. Marquise Pouncey headed off to retirement. You had a rookie in Kevin Dotson, who I thought performed admirably when he fit in there. J.C. Hassenauer, is he a future fit somewhere? These are all questions that are coming up in a future episode that I plan to address, but I just don't want to make the show 2 hours of just me rambling and taking small breaks in order to have a swig of water here. So I always appreciate your love and support out there. And don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe, particularly comment. I would like to hear like some of your thoughts when it comes to some of this, and if I'm just off my rocker. But again, Ben being in the shotgun, I don't think that was necessarily bad. And you see that you will see when I put it up on the website, but you heard here that pretty much it boils down to Steelers might run on first down, Probably won't run on second down. Definitely don't run on third down. And when it's fourth down, what are they going to do? They're actually a little scary and unpredictable in fourth down situations, except for when they run the same freaking play that they ran before that had success or didn't have success, and it was already put on film, and we saw that a couple of times too. I'm still going to blame that on Randy Fichtner. I'm thinking Matt Canada is going to have a little more variety in that regard, and maybe Randy just wasn't all there was, you know, meant to be there as far as a play caller for the Steelers offense. And we could even go back to when Duck Hodges and Mason Rudolph were operating a lot in 2019. It was a little tough then. They missed the playoffs in 2018. They had that late season slide. So you got to wonder just how far back some of this goes. Maybe in the case of having one scapegoat, that could be possible. But Steelers offense, new offensive coordinator promoted, Matt Canada, new quarterbacks coach that is sliding in for Matt Canada as well. Mike Sullivan, another Mike Sullivan in Pittsburgh. Alfredo, can't remember his last name now, new tight ends coach. Eddie Faulkner still a hot hand as a running backs coach there too. New offensive line coach, Adrian Clem, getting a promotion internally, and then he has a new assistant with him as well. Pretty much everyone but the running backs coach and Ike Hilliard, who came in last season as a brand new wide receivers coach. So I think the Steelers are prepared there and have acknowledged that there needs to be an overhaul in philosophy as far as the way their offense operates at a coaching and play calling level. And you've seen it right here. So we'll see what other personnel ends up returning, coming back, getting added. We're going to take a look at all that maybe later in the week, maybe early next week, finally, unless there's some other crazy news that comes up, but it won't be JJ Watt. So folks, my name's Joe Kuzma. Again, thank you for listening. And until next time, we encourage everyone out there to be safe, be good, and we'll catch you later.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.